Thank you, Randy, and thank all of you for being here tonight. It is a wonderful evening, and it's been very cool and nice, and God has blessed us even beyond the rain. There are a few that got 7 inches, I think they said this afternoon. 7 inches apart, that is, every drop. But anyway, we anticipate the rain to come. I believe that it will. And let me encourage you folks to do something. I know on Sunday night, we all have a tendency to sit way back there. And I know how hard it is for a song leader. I know how hard it is for me to preach because I can't hardly see you out there. Would y'all do us a favor and kind of come down here a little bit closer? Would y'all do that right now? It really does make the service so much better. It really, really does. Now, for you old soreheads that want to sit back there, that's okay. But anyway, we would really appreciate you doing this on Sunday night because it would really be most helpful during the... Well, you don't have to sit up here, Charles, right? Just right down here. Yeah. This makes it much, much better. You see how much better that is? And we really appreciate that. It certainly is encouraging in many, many ways. And... you know, we talk about how we all want to draw closer together. The way that we do that is to be close to each other. And when we form a distance between one another, then that barrier exists, and it really is hard for us to feel close. But I know people say sometimes about these pews, and when we built this building, we thought this was a beautiful design. They didn't anticipate people having to sit down there and look up like you're taking off in an airplane. But just think about one of these days, that's the way you're going to go into heaven. Just like this. So get ready for it, okay? You know, all of us, thank you very much, all of us need encouragement. I don't know that there's ever a person who has ever lived that did not need encouragement. We all need it. Everybody. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about encouragement and how we do it. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 23, 24, and 25, the Bible says something about encouragement. It says that we are to motivate one another, or if you're reading the King James language, it says that we are to provoke one another unto love and good works. Now, there are ways that we do that, practically speaking, and there are ways sometimes that we provoke one another, all right, and that's not good when we provoke them to anger. You know, the Bible says that fathers are not to provoke their children to anger, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Sometimes we provoke people in the wrong way. But I want us to talk a little bit tonight about how we encourage each other. That Bible says that we are to motivate one another unto love and good works. And then he says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Have you ever considered the fact that much of the Bible, as a matter of fact, the majority of the New Testament, is written for the purpose of encouragement? When you read the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you actually read the biographical sketches, I guess you could say, of the life of Jesus, because in no way is everything that Jesus ever did given in great detail. John says, many other things did Jesus in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these things are written that you might believe, and believing, you might have life through his name. John 20, 30, and 31. So we all understand that. So what we have in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are just really a number of events that occurred in the life of Jesus and the lessons that he taught, his words, his commandments, the things that we read that are so relevant and always have been. But when we read the book of Acts, we read about the beginning of the church, and we read about the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul and also of Barnabas and others as well. John Mark and Silas, who are all involved in that as well. But when we read the other books beyond the book of Acts, when we start in the book of Romans and we read all the way through the book of Revelation, I can tell you that those books are given not just to be filled with a bunch of information, but it is filled with words of encouragement. Because people have a propensity, or generally we have a tendency, if you will, to get discouraged. And I don't know about you, but I get discouraged every now and then. And I suppose probably we all do about a lot of things in life. Sometimes people never enjoy life because they're so depressed. They're so down and out about a lot of things. There were three preachers one time down at a particular coffee shop, and they were discussing when life really had its beginning. They all gave their opinion with regard to when life begins. Big debate today. One preacher said life begins when the child takes his or her first breath. The other said no. Then he finished, it begins when the child is conceived. But the last preacher said, no, you're both wrong. He said the answer is life begins when the last child leaves home and the dog dies. Well, now you may not feel that way about it in life. But you know, sometimes we all have a tendency to take a dismal view of life. We don't encourage, we discourage one another. At a particular convention with their wives, two businessmen who had been roommates in college way back when, their paths crossed. And so anyway, they sat in the lobby all night talking. They were just so enamored with each other because they enjoyed their company. And they knew they would be in trouble with their wives. But the next day, they happened to see each other again. And one man said, "What did your wife think?" He said, "Well, I walked through the door and my wife got historical." And the man thought a minute and he said, "You don't mean historical." He said, "You mean hysterical, don't you?" He said, "No, historical. She told me everything that I have ever done wrong in my life." Well, there are some people who are always bringing up the past, who always want to discourage instead of encourage. Now, that's why the Bible teaches us that you and I ought to be encouragers one of another. We live every day in a war zone. Do you realize that? We really do. We talk about war zones being in Afghanistan and perhaps North Korea and other places around the world. But you and I live in a war zone every day. Now, that's why the Bible says, spiritually speaking, in Ephesians 6 and verse 10 that and following, that we are to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil, the diabolical schemes of the evil one. And you and I are in a battle with Satan every day. He is fighting a relentless battle in our lives. We are outnumbered, and we are living in enemy territory every day. Even right here in Palestine, Texas, it is true. But you know what? You could move to Dallas, Texas, it would be the same way. You could move to New York, you could move to California, it would be the same way, folks. It is true. For the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 says that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of them that do not believe. Peter said the devil is as a roaring lion seeking about whom he may devour. He is our adversary, if you will. And the Bible in the book of Ephesians 2 and verse 2 tells us that in times past, we walked according to the course of this world and not according to the course of God. And I thank God for people who are still fighting that battle. Even the strongest and the bravest of soldiers in a particular army, whatever army it may be, need to deal with battle fatigue. They all do. Now, that's why they let them come home. That's why they give them a reprieve. They keep them in Afghanistan for a period of time, and then they allow them to come home and regroup once again, and then they go back. Well, unlike the soldiers in our army, Christians do not have a limited deployment. God didn't say, okay, you can fight the devil today, but you don't have to fight him next week. In other words, you know, we are fighting against the evil one every day in our life, and we all need encouragement. We cannot destroy morale and hope to succeed in life. That's why it's so important, and officials will tell you that. We have to make sure that the morale in our military stays high if we're going to accomplish what needs to be accomplished in life. For as long as we remain on this earth, the battle is our life. Every Christian needs encouragement because we all get discouraged. And there is really no exception to that rule. We all do. Now, discouragement has a negative impact upon our life. You know, some people go around really discouraging instead of encouraging. You've been around people that are constantly running somebody down, or they're constantly talking about someone, or they're constantly saying things that they ought not to say, and they're discouraging. We need to be people who are encouraging one another. Some people become so discouraged that they leave the Lord's church and they go back into the world. Someone was telling me the other day about someone who was so discouraged where they were that they had decided to go back to some denomination somewhere and leave the kingdom of God. Now, folks, that's a great tragedy, and those who provoke such and those who incite that are having a great price to pay in the day of judgment. It causes people to lose their desire when people are negative and when people discouraged. The worst result is that it causes a lot of people to become inactive. You see, Jesus said, "He that is not with me is against me, and he that does not gather scatters abroad." We're either doing one or two things for Christ. We're either working for Him and we are gathering, or we are scattering. The second thought you need to know. First one is that encouragement is essential to the Lord's church. But the second is that in His eternal wisdom, God designed the church to prevent discouragement. Now, if you don't believe that, you go back and look at the writings of the Apostle Paul. Everywhere Paul went, whether he was writing to the church at Rome, or whether he's writing to the church at Philippi, or whether he is penning an epistle to the church at Ephesus or Colossae, they were always words of encouragement. The church would get down and out, and this man who wrote many of these, what we call epistles from a prison, or when he was being chained to a praetorian guard, he writes words of encouragement. Think about this. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, when Paul is writing this letter to the church at Philippi, Paul here again is imprisoned, and he writes and he says unto them, "Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say, rejoice." Listen to that. "Rejoice evermore," he says to the church at Thessalonica. Over and over again, Paul is not saying, "Woe is me, look at what all I'm having to go through in life." And I'm going to tell you something we all do, every one of us do. And you know what? I could probably carry on a bigger pity party up here tonight than you could ever muster in your life if I wanted to do it. That's the honest truth. And you're not interested in hearing it, are you? You don't have to look so disinterested. But I can tell you that many of us are not. We shy away from people that do that. We all need encouragement. Motivate one another. Hebrews 10 verse 25 or 24. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14 that we are to let everything be done for this one purpose, to edify. He said, "Seek that you may excel to the edifying of the body of Christ." Think about it. Everything that we do ought to be done to the excelling and edifying the church. Hebrews 3 and verse 13 says that we are to encourage one another daily. And in order to do that, we have to have daily contact with each other. Discouragement has its roots in a person's heart. But did you realize that discouragement actually is a response to the choice that we make in life? Now, I can either choose to be discouraged, or I can choose to be encouraged. It is a choice. Now, that's not to say that, we still don't need those words of encouragement from we do. But we do that in a lot. We do it in song, by the way. We've done it in song here tonight. Paul in the book of Ephesians 5 verse 19 says, "We're to sing, make melody in our hearts one to another, encouraging one another. Singing with grace," he says in Colossians 3 verse 16. "Singing with grace in our hearts unto God." Singing, admonishing one another. We do that. And that's a great way to do it. We admonish one another through the prayers that are prayed and through our observance of the Lord's Supper. God gave the Lord's Supper for us to simply be reminded every day about what this is all about. Let me tell you something. You know, a lot of people think that they grow as Christians on the basis of the thing that they eliminate from their life. Did you know you don't grow on the basis of the things that you eliminate from your life, but you grow on the basis of the things that you add to your life? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 11 says, listen, we call these the Christian graces, for lack of better terminology, I suppose. The Bible doesn't really call them that, but we talk about them. How we're to add what? Unto our faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, brotherly kindness, all these things, just like the fruit of the Spirit that we read about over in the book of Galatians. Now we're to grow. Peter said that we're to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. But we don't grow as a result of eliminating certain things from our life. There are things that ought to be eliminated, all right. But the thing that enables us to grow and to really grow as a Christian in our personal life is a result of the addition of things that make us better and stronger. Let me give you an example of that. You remember the parable that Jesus told about the one who had an evil spirit? And she swept and swept to get rid of that evil spirit. And when she got rid of the evil spirit, she didn't really replace anything in her life to make her life better. And so evil spirits, seven of them, came and took over her life and made it even far worse. It's not enough to become a Christian to have all your sin washed away, but we must start growing in our spiritual life. Evil must be replaced by good. And that is what is meant by sanctification and true holiness. Do you know that the Roman army, and of course back during the days when this was written and when the Apostle Paul would write, Judea was under a Roman province, or was a Roman province, and the Roman army required its soldiers to build things to keep them busy when they had no battles to fight. Don't you think about that? You may not be fighting Satan right now, but you know what? When you don't do something and when you are not active, your mind just goes everywhere. You ever heard that little expression, the idle mind is what? The devil's workshop. It is. It is. And that's why it's so important for us to be busy doing something in the kingdom of God. It is extremely important for us to be reaching lost souls with the gospel of Christ. And we've been doing that, talking about it on Wednesday night. By the way, that's how Hadrian's Wall was built all across England. My soldiers, when they were not fighting battles, they were busy doing something. Let's talk about some practical ways we do this, thirdly and last of all, and we'll hurry along here. There are many practical ways to build each other up in the most holy faith. First of all, we develop eyes for one another. By nature, people are more interested in themselves than they are in the things of others. We have to look at others. The Bible says we're to look on the things of others and not on the things of ourselves. Academically, we realize the need of encouraging one another, but we don't practice it very well. But there's a second thing. We must train ourselves to be on the lookout for opportunities to encourage. You know, sometimes you think it has to be some kind of magnanimous thing for someone to really encourage another. And it doesn't have to be. It really doesn't. We have to be proactive, and we have to think about ways that we can go about doing this. Don't wait to be asked. But when you see someone who needs encouragement, go give it. A lot of times we wait for people to come to us and tell us their problems or the things that are going on in their life instead of trying to reach out to them. We ought to be perceptive enough. Don't wait to be asked. We must thirdly discipline ourselves to do for others as we want them to do for us. Now, we all said tonight that we need encouragement. Every one of us need encouragement. Well, if that's true, and we really appreciate being encouraged, others appreciate it also. We must open our eyes Because God every day, and I'm going to tell you this, I run into folks all the time, all over Palestine. God put someone in our path that needs encouragement. I could tell you story after story tonight of people that God put in my path that needed encouragement. Number four, don't wait for the opportunity to do some kind of grand gesture, as I said. You know, there's a little song we sing. Randy may remember this one, "Bright in the Corner, Wherever You Are." And it's true. Wherever you are, be an influence for good. Look for simple opportunities. Someone said, take care of the pennies and the dollars will take care of themselves. And it's true, isn't it? Likewise, if we consistently take care of the little things. You know what? Jesus said, even when we give a cup of cold water in His name, it does not go without its reward. A cup of cold water. Think about that. If you don't like the Palestinian water, you can go out to Walmart and buy drinking water. You can buy it for $3.99. You can give someone a bottle of water for about a dime or 12 cents. And always say thank you when people do something for you and when they do encourage you, and be sincere about it and be positive and give someone a smile. Someone said there is no one in this world who needs a smile more than those who feel that they have none left to give. We all need it. We do. And when you think about doing it, how often do you think, I ought to, and you just kind of stop there. Did you know that the road to hell is paved with good intentions? I've had people tell me, I know I need to do this. And but for some reason, they don't do it. They don't do it. And you know what we generally say? We turn around and with this little cliche, we generally say, you know what? Someone ought to do this. Someone, not me, but someone ought to do this. Last of all, be quick to offer words of praise. When someone does a good job, say, good job. Appreciate that. I don't care who it is. I mean, if it's a garbage man that picks up the garbage. You ever thought about that? The person that picks up your garbage on Tuesday and Friday. I'm going to tell you something Audrey did one time. And I talked to him to do this. We made a cake for the garbage man. I rushed out one morning. The guy was out there picking up the garbage. I rushed out with a cake and said, well, it's going to garbage? I said, no. Don't dare put that in the garbage. Simple things. I don't care who you are, you need encouragement. You think that garbage man needed encouragement? You think he would look a little more closely when he got to my house to make sure he got every bag? No, I didn't do it for that purpose. But what I'm telling you tonight, and what I'm stressing with you, is that we all need encouragement. I don't care who we are. And sometimes the things that we consider to be so little and mundane and very insignificant are so important. And I have learned through the years that people will improve faster when their successes are pointed out than when their mistakes are corrected. You propagate what you reinforce. You do. When something is done well, acknowledge it. It doesn't have to be a big thing. And it doesn't have to be done perfectly. Few of us ever do. But we have to reinforce improvement and effort. And it's especially important to acknowledge good in the successes of young people. The young are often looked down upon today with disdain. We live in a changing society. But the young need encouragement. We all need encouragement. And I hope this week that as we stop and reflect upon what I've said here tonight, that we'll do our best to be encouragers, not discouragers. There was a survey made, and I'll close with this. There was a survey made a number of years ago about people they called good finders. And they found out that more people who were successful in life were people who they call good finders. They look for good. They didn't look for the flaws, but they look for the good. They search for the good. And that's what we have to do. I hope that we'll do that. I thank you for being here tonight. If you're not a Christian, then certainly you can begin your walk with Christ tonight and seek to encourage others to do the same thing. If you believe Him to be the Son of God and you're willing out of an humble heart to prostrate yourself before God and ask Him to forgive your sin through a penitent attitude and acknowledgement of Him as the Son of God, and by being immersed in water baptism, raised to that new life the Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, then you can experience that, and you can be on your way to be an encourager of those who need it so badly. And there's so many in our world who need it. And if you feel in your heart of hearts that maybe you haven't been, you need to be, you need to improve, I hope that you'll come tonight while we stand and while we sing.